AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Buy the ticket. Take the ride.
For real, man. You think he's sitting on a toilet, not a chair?
Sorry, stop the show. Stop the show. Listen, we sat here and we didn't have much pre-prep.
Oh, we should have run the podcast, the pre-show pod. We didn't have that segment.
We didn't have any pre-show prep to do.
We're at Dodger Stadium.
And we didn't have, we're a bit of a skeleton crew, apparently, since fully functional employee Adam is still recovering from the big Clipper comeback last night. So instead of doing prep and talking about the Dodgers and getting ready for tonight's big game and the whole deal, being at Dodger Stadium.
I heard Puig's going to be here.
He will eventually, and he's back in right field, super sad, as somebody said.
Look at him out there. He's so sad.
So instead of instead of getting into what we should be into, which is great sports talk.
We should.
Great sports talk.
Matt spent the last 40 minutes looking up videos of Max Kellerman farting and trying to hold it or trying to cover it up.
With a cough.
He wasn't trying to hold it at all.
Oh,
really.
No. He tried to hold it, and then he decided, I can't hold it no more.
He was having a rough day.
It's a rough morning.
On First Take, which is the show he's on, and I guess he was farting and then very ill-timed coughs to try to cover it up, like
he was way late. He was like two beats late.
Yeah, and it was, and there's,
or no, he's two beats early.
There's like all these forensic Twitter people,
yeah,
that are like checking
Sunset Strip lights.
Yeah, stripling scene. It's like at 5:08, at 14:11, at 6:09, he farts there, he tries to cover it up there, and Matt is like listing them all out. He's got his phone up to his ear. Every time he farts, Matt, who is even older than me, starts kicking his leg and going, ha ha, oh, he threw the toe, ha ha, and then starting to read the Reddit comments, yeah, all the comments, which are like, man, what's the matter with your ass? And, like, what's going on? Why can't you hold it, dog? And, like,
Max, I'm in here thinking he's doing a show from a toilet.
Yeah. And Twitter is just coming full force against this guy's bowels. And now even the New York Post is involved.
New York Post ran a clip with the audio and Max Kellerman's denial from his appearance.
And that's
on
the thing.
Levitard.
That's what's really upsetting is Max.
If he just owned it, we wouldn't even be talking.
Yeah,
about it.
If he just said, yeah, you know, I went to Dorja last night and I got the ink octopus pasta and it blew me out. You know, I mean,
dude, Mad Max was brewing up a storm today.
I don't know why. And we have so much to celebrate. I mean,
it was a hell of a night last night.
The Clipper comeback was epic. The Dodgers won a game they really needed to win after Yasiel Puig flipped his bat all over Kershaw. And instead, we're doing Zapruder forensics back and to the left.
There we go. Wait.
On the farting.
Your boy, Mira Keck, has got this here.
I haven't paid attention to First Take or First Pizza.
This is the first take I have seen in, I don't know, like you said, years.
It takes a guy's ass to explode for us to watch it. And we're at Dodger Stadium. We have so much happening.
06, little squish. 46, clears throat, covers up too early, laughing my ass off. 5:08, tummy rumble or another fart? 5:11, everybody quiet. 5:27, you think it's small static, but Max just let it rip. 5:37, everyone quiet again. 5:50, cough, biggest fart yet.
And we couldn't play these on the radio, A, because Cates isn't back in the studio to make it all pronounced and this and that. And B, because, you know, we're on the AM band and it's kind of hard to pick it up. I mean, you got to put your phone up into your head And then you have to be careful because your head will start jerking around when you laugh and you shouldn't hit your face with the phone or something like that. I don't know why it's so funny. You know why? Because he takes himself so seriously.
That's exactly what it is.
When somebody takes themselves so seriously as the people on First Take, and somebody's just farting up a storm and they're trying their best to get through it, and he's coughing like Peter Griffin at like a PTA meeting.
This might
it's
be my
bad. That is bad.
This
dude.
Might be one of my favorite ones. Man, y'all people ain't cool. That guy was out there literally S-ing his pants.
I'm glad that you guys are getting a glimpse of this because this has literally been the last
20 minutes.
45.
Yeah.
The last 45 minutes of us reading Twitter responses, Reddit responses, and listening to Max Kellerman fart.
Would you like to know what reggae recipe, what the conclusion is that he has come to? No, man. When it comes out that fast and furious, he ate something bad like 30 minutes earlier.
You know, and maybe I
that's
mean,
probably right.
Well, we all have different systems and we all react, but it's like, hey, if you got that kind of problem and you're letting it fly, I mean, I wouldn't trust that. You know what I'm saying? I would not try. I'd let Stephen A can talk. I'd say, like, Stephen A,
take it.
I have got to go pull a Dumb and Dumber, you know, with old Harry Doyle. I got to get, you know, I mean, because it's going to be a bad scene. But that's the thing that's upsetting. Is he went on the New York Post and was like, I don't know what anybody's talking about. This is ridiculous. Or he went on Levitard and the New York Post picked it up. What did he say?
Casey Tritt says.
Wait, what did Kellerman say?
He said, I went back and listened to it after the show. I heard nothing. But if you claim there's something there, it wasn't me that dealt it.
Oh, you said it was a stage manager?
Exactly.
You said it was Joy Taylor or whoever the hell that is, Sage Steele?
Dude, 547 is the loudest of them all. Check that one out. And it's the highest pitched one, too.
And, you know, if somebody told our radio boss, who's probably driving around in Agora or something.
More chicken effing.
Everybody, they'd be like, oh, he's talking about First Take? Maybe they had a hot take that they were maybe they were saying something about the Clippers and the guys really took umbrage to and were talking about basketball. No, we just talked about First Take for about 20 minutes because Max Kellerman had some kind of bowel issue and he was farting and coughing like he – like. And that's the thing. It's like, Max, just say it, dude. You've been on TV a long time.
You're fine. Know? People right? will celebrate you. Yeah, dude. I didn't think the mics would pick it up, but, you know, it did.
When Dr. Oz showed up on the cover of that magazine with a big boner, and everybody was like, wow, Dr. Oz, what's your deal? He geeked it because it was like a food magazine. He was holding pasta. He said, what can I say? I love pasta. It's like, that's right, Dr. Oz. And you know what? You got a big Johnny Schlunk. Good for you. I mean, come on, Max. Just tell everybody that your ass was exploding. We've all been there.
What is that, a B flat? You idiot. It's a high A. Everybody knows that. I love pasta.
What can I say? Just own it like Dr. Oz.
Who knew they mic'd up the chairs at First Take? First comment after that, chairs, that's up in
up
his.
Up his ass.
Yes, exactly.
Come on, man. Oh, fine.
Well, so much for this conversation.
Jeez.
I don't think we'll ever revisit it.
Let's talk Clippers. Play the highlight.
The three, it's in the air. It doesn't go. Oh, my goodness. The Clippers have overcome a 31-point deficit and win game two in Oracle Arena. Wow. Lou Williams with 36. Montrez with 25. It was 94-63 in the third. Your final score, 135-131. I do not believe what just happened. The biggest comeback in Clipper history just unfolded in the most unlikely stage, the most challenging place to play a basketball game, Oracle Arena, against the two-time defending champions. The game is over, and the series is tied.
A great call from a great play-by-play man. We're out here at Dodger Stadium, brought to you by Chevrolet, and on the Chevrolet Celebrity Silverado Hotline. The man that made that call, the man that was there. I think it's 4 games back from 20 down, 9 games back from 15 down, 1 in the playoffs back from 30 down. The Cardiac Clippers sailing away into Game 3, and our dear friend Brian Seaman here on PMS to talk about it. Congratulations on the great call. And what a fun win to be a part of, huh, Seaman, huh? What do you say there, hey?
it's really hard to mess those up. I've done it before, but that was an easy one. That was a blast to do, and I'd be lying if I was optimistic midway through the third quarter, but the Clippers came through, and I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't know how this series is going to end, when it's going to end. You know, I just wanted the Clippers to be competitive throughout, but this season, to me, is flawless for what they were trying to accomplish this year and going forward. They've already been playing with house money. Going forward now, I mean, they can't lose. There's nothing that could be, you know, in terms of a PR, in terms of trying to rebrand and reimage themselves, nothing could change what they've accomplished this year. And last night kind of solidifies everything.
No doubt a 44-point third quarter will get your hopes up that they can complete a comeback. But still, you would assume, you know, start of the fourth quarter, all right, starters will come back in. These are the Golden State Warriors. Like, when did you internally start processing that this could really happen? Was it within, you know, 120 seconds, or was it before that it felt like they were back in this?
You know, it's funny. I listened to the game this morning, and I'm listening to, you know, just the energy that I had in the third quarter, and it was just kind of like more factual, like, hey, they're down 18. It was when they got to 12, I thought, okay, there's a lot of time left, and I knew how good they've been in years past or in games past this season where operating in the clutch. Now, against Golden State, though, it's a different world. They're not a normal team. They're a supernova. If this is any other team in the league, I'd be like, they got this. They're going to win this game. But with Steph Curry on the other side, I just kept thinking that he could erupt for 9 points in 30 seconds and it'd be over. So when they got it to 12, I kept thinking, boy, they're going to make this thing interesting. They really are. Gallo hit a three. Lou got a three-point play. Trez had a couple of shots. And then the rookie, Landry Shamet. How about Landry and
about
Shea?
You
know, I mean, the backcourt there combines for the biggest play of the series. It was amazing. To me, that's what this whole playoff series is about, those two young kids right there developing, you know, kind of a playoff mindset, getting a baptism by fire by the best backcourt maybe in NBA history. And to have the biggest play of the series so far be on those two guys is really special.
And how – I know he fouled out. Five of those fouls came against Durant. The last one was, you know, what they call – I think it was on the offensive end. They called moving screen on Pat Beverly. But kind of give us an idea, Seaman, because you're there. You're with this team at practice. You're on the plane. You're around them. What is it that he brings? How is it that he is such an integral part of what they are trying to do and the identity that they have created?
It's a great question because, you know, I really enjoyed him in Houston. I did appreciate him. You know, he's kind of from a fan standpoint. He's the, you know, the old cliche, you hate him when he's on the other team, love him when he's on your team. I didn't know that he could influence a game outside of his individual matchup defensively. Like, I thought he would irritate whoever he was guarding and then the rest of his teammates, not in a bad way, but they're on their own. He came to this team. I talked to them midway through the season, and I said, why come here? What was your big thing? And he's like, I know that I can have a bigger role than I did in Houston. That's why I came here. And it was very obvious in late January that his demeanor, his spirit, he has great leadership in the locker room. He's a truth teller on the floor. He's an organizer defensively. And he's not a known offensive player. He's not going to be a 20-and-10 guy ever. But I think he is so great for this Clipper offense. He will make the extra pass and then some. He's always looking to get somebody involved. And it's worth pointing out, like, if you watch him play, this is a guy since mid-December. He's a top five three-point shooter in the league when the three-point shot has never been a bigger weapon, never been more valuable. Pat Beverly is shooting 45% since mid-December, yet he's so quick to make the extra pass, even if he's open. That's the kind of guy he is, and I think his teammates love him. I didn't know what the reaction would be from this Clipper squad going forward after all those trades. Like, how would they manage clutch situations and being in deficits? But after that Boston win in early February, you realize they may have traded away their best offensive player, but their biggest leader is still here, and that's Pat Beverly. I really believe he is the heart and soul, and if I had a vote, he's the MVP of the team.
Hard to argue with that. Clippers and Warriors series tied at one. What a great call by Brian Seaman. AM 1150, you'll hear game three Thursday at 7:30. What a wild game to call and be a part of. It must have been great. Beverly, the young guys, but Harrell, Montrezl Harrell. I know that DeAndre Jordan was a great force, and it was fun to watch him kind of develop within the franchise from a second-round pick, but there's not much drop-off there. I mean, this guy plays with a lot of effort, and it seems like he finishes almost every time.
His hands are unbelievable. Maybe the best set of hands in the league. And when he's running alongside Lou Williams, the defense really, they've got to pick their poison, and they haven't chosen wisely, because it's either Lou getting a layup or a move to his left and hitting a jumper, or it's Montrez, who, and this comes from Steve Kerr, is like the best roller in the league. That means he sets the screen and then he dives straight to the rim, and he's ferocious. He has boundless energy, and he's as tough as they get. Kind of a microcosm of the team as well. So Trez is great. You know, I told this story last night on the air, you know, but when the trade was happening in 2017 with Chris Paul going to Houston, Montrez was part of the loot that came in for the Clippers. And there was a very brief moment where the brain trust thought, do we bring this guy in to camp? We've got so many players. Why isn't he playing in Houston was kind of the question. Well, they ended up bringing him to camp for obvious reasons. And the question still sits, why didn't he play in Houston? Imagine he and Chris Paul in a pick and roll. Might be almost as good as a Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell pick and roll. I mean, he's unbelievable. And my favorite stat about him is he's under contract next year. He's really special.
And obviously you mentioned the pick and roll. I think in terms of a points per position, it is the most effective and efficient offensive set in the NBA since the All-Star break. The Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell pick and roll. I mean, I think it's 1.2 points per possession, which is just a ridiculous number. But the other half of that is Lou Williams. But both of them come off the bench. How does that, I guess, obviously it makes the Clippers unique, but how does it make them more dangerous? Because obviously, if Doc wanted to start him, he would, but there is something with this and them coming off the bench that makes it even more, it seems like, tough to deal with.
Well, part of it is, to begin the game, you're going up against the other unit, the second unit for the other team, and it's not going to be able to hold it up. I mean, the second unit is a much different complexion than what the Clippers have. What's so impressive for Montrez and Lou is that they might come in late in the first quarter when either the starters are tired or the other second unit is on, but those guys are out there to close games. Like, Lou's one of the great fourth quarter players in the league. So is Montrez. So for them to do it in the clutch, it really says a lot. Now, there were times last year, battlefield promotions for both, where they started and they looked uncomfortable. I think they enjoy coming off the bench just because there's a good chemistry there. I think they read the game very well to come in there. But, you know, those two guys are simply amazing, and it is great. And one thing that's really happened since the trade is the starters have been much better. So when the starters have been able to kind of hold the line a little bit, let their kind of 1-2 punch come in, it's been really tough to deal with for the opposition. It's why the Clippers were able to ascend for a long while, you know, up the standings in the Western Conference.
Brian, I don't know if you're courtside, but I would assume with the mics down there, you can at least hear a lot of that conversation. I mean, Kevin Durant fouled out of the game. He was thrown out of game one. You had Steph Curry miss two wide-open shots, which he rarely does. Is it conversation? Is there something about the way the Clippers play? Because certainly last night, emotionally, they had the Warriors off their spots.
The Durant element is the interesting one. He's not been assertive. He had 9 turnovers last night, 4 offensive fouls. He doesn't look like the dominant Durant that we know he can be. And so I've looked up at his game threes. They're all very good. So I expect a different Durant. The Curry thing last night was, it reminded me a great deal of the game against the Houston Rockets a few years ago when the Clippers surrendered an 18-point lead. Curry left early in the third quarter with foul trouble, and by the time he came back in, the game was 100% different. There was momentum on the Clippers that they were not letting go. And I'm a big believer in momentum. Like, I'll take a scrappy G League team that has momentum against 5 Hall of Famers. And I'm not calling the Clippers a G League team. I'm trying to make a juxtaposition there. But the momentum is such a force. It really is in basketball for sure. And the Clippers had it, and they had it really all second half, and they never let it go. So when Steph came in, as destructive as he is, as great as he is, I don't think he could catch up to where the game was. And he looked cold. He didn't look comfortable out there, and the Clippers made him pay.
Now, do they make this statement and go off into the very promising summertime and wait to see who wants to come play with this inspirational team and obviously great NBA head coach? Or do you think they have a little gas left in the tank, Brian?
It's a great question. One thing that I've been very impressed with this team, I don't know if they win another game in the series. I don't. Let's just be brutally honest, right? Like, the Warriors are the best team maybe ever constructed. This is 5 All-Stars that started last night, 2 Hall of Famers, 2 MVPs. I mean, it's crazy, right? 4 Hall of Famers really in that front line for the Warriors. So I don't know how it's going to end. I know this. The thing that's impressed me the most about the Clippers isn't that they've beaten big teams. It's when they've done it. They don't seem to think it's a major accomplishment. So when they clinched a playoff berth against Minnesota, they went out and they fought and they scrapped against the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in the league record-wise, you know, two nights later. When they beat Sacramento earlier in March to kind of get them out of the way, they beat New York and they beat the Lakers. I mean, these guys don't seem to get happy, you know, with just a win. I think in their minds that they're going to make all these games competitive. It might not work out that way, but I don't sense a let's let go of the rope, mission accomplished, we'll see you next year. I think they fight. They might not win another game in the process, but they're going to be tough.
More Zubats. That's all I'm looking for. That's just a cherry on the sundae. It's a delicious sundae, but hey, if that's the way it goes, I just want to see Zubs out there. Just maybe
minutes.
An extra two, 3 more minutes. Just give me like the 12
Harold
or 13.
Was finishing it.
He was special, but you know, I just want to see Zubs push Draymond Green around a little bit, huh? Here comes some muscle your way, okay? Some Slovenian muscle. Bang.
They blew Boogie's thigh open.
Well, they did.
You know? Who's next?
His quad's still in Oakland.
Oh, my God.
All right, Seaman. Good stuff. A great call. What an epic night to be part of. The largest comeback in a postseason game in NBA history, besting a Lakers comeback over the Seattle Supersonics, I believe, from 89.
Yeah, Lakers beat the Supersonics.
By 29, this by 31. Enjoy it, and we can't wait to hear you on Game 3. Thank you, Brian.
Always a pleasure, my friends.
Thank you, Seaman. I have one text to read, Matt, real quick before we get to the keyword.
What do we got?
It says, I had to turn you guys off to find the video of Max Kellerman farting.
Understandable.
The text social line is brought to you by Chevy. I love that the conversation they're having is all about control, and Max cannot control his ass.
His bowels.
We want to put a grand in your hand every hour we do it. On the weekdays, for your chance to win $1,000 just for listening to Dan, Colin, Rogan, and Rodney, or us, from 6 to 7, it's a grand in your hand on AM570 LA Sports, brought to you by the all-new Hollywood Park Casino. Elevate your game. Why don't you listen for this keyword right now?
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the nationwide keyword, SUPER, to 200-200.
Then what happened?
You'll get a text confirming entry, plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's super to 200-200.
Big thank you to Brian Seaman. Later this hour, David Vasse will check in and recap the night that was the return of Yasiel Puig. We got a little bit of it yesterday prior to the contest, but of course his first at bat in Dodger Stadium since being traded to the Reds ended with an epic blast by Puig. So Vasse will touch on that. Steve Garvey will join us from the ballpark here.
Yeah, we got a lot going on and some housekeeping as we continue. Housekeeping live from Dodger Stadium, brought to you by Chevrolet of the Chevy Silverado, the one and only Petrolson Money Show on AM570 LA Sports.
Three to seven on AM570 LA Sports and on the iHeartRadio app.
Petrolson Money.
Justifiably in a position we'd rather not be in, but we continue and persevere. Petrolson Money Show's out here with a guy named Connor, a guy named John, and a guy named Russell. Tim Cates has made it to this remote.
That could be one person, by the way. Connor John Russell.
It could be. He'd be an actor.
Who's out here? Connor John Russell?
Oh, great guy. Everybody loves CJR.
Sunset Strip's done. Bullpen session. Complete.
We're live at Dodger Stadium in a position we'd rather not be in. We're justifiably in left field by the Square Circle Bar. Dodgers won last night on a jock pop.
Tonight.
Everybody's pretty excited about that. Yasiel Puig was late, but he showed up to hit a dinger off Kershaw.
Everybody excited about it except Jock, it seemed like. Little post-game huddle with Alana Rizzo, and she's like, man, you know what? What's going through? What'd you see? What'd you see in that pitch? I wasn't really looking for anything. Just, squared the barrel up and it, took off.
Swing that bat.
Well, it's your first one, though. So, I mean, obviously, it's your first time getting a walk-off. That's got to feel kind of special. Yeah, I guess it is, huh? It's been like 3 years.
We asked for Jock. And Cates, would you please approach the microphone? Everybody knows he's unjustifiably in a position he'd rather not be in without the mic on his head, but he's putting it on his head right now. Tim Cates is our executive producer. All CIF baseball in 1996.
Yeah, man. He's produced a lot of shows. All CIF baseball in 96. Let's all celebrate.
Tim Cates will be out here doing Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck from 6 to 7 before first pitch with Kenta Maeda going tonight. Now, a couple things here, Cates. One, did you know that Jock Peterson was not excited in the postgame interview?
I heard it on the postgame show with
Dave.
He's
a little hot there, Bert.
Yeah.
He's a little hot there, Bert. Wake up, Bert.
Real hot.
Right here. Bert, wake up.
We're not interviewing Michael Jackson's ghost, okay?
Sorry, there's no food, Bert.
Yeah.
You were lamenting
the lack of food, Bert. I'm sorry.
We'll
forgot to feed you.
So are we going to eat or what?
Yeah, sorry, Bert.
This new promotions crew doesn't know how to get food.
Yeah,
someone's got to get them caught up on where we go and what we get.
We'll feed you guys. Now, Cates.
Yes.
Is there anything that you need to know about the Dodger game or have to say about the Dodger game last night before we address what really needs to be addressed?
No, I'm good. Dodgers won. Jock Peterson hit the walk-off. Kenta goes tonight. Looking forward to tonight.
That's it?
Yeah.
You got nothing else.
You guys are looking at me like I'm supposed to know something about last night.
Oh, you're the guy wearing a hat with a silhouette of a catcher on it. You're the seam head around here.
I know.
Let's see. Yasiel Puig had an epic bat flip last night after the home run off Kershaw. Let's see. Cody Bellinger got dotted on the knee, but it looks like he's okay. He was running the outfield earlier.
That's the kind of nugget we
saw.
We
saw Rich Hill working out on the ladders.
Yeah, we saw Ross Stripling was laughing at you guys when you were talking about Max Kellerman.
He farting up a storm.
Him and the bullpen catcher were...
Yeah, they were into it.
They were chuckling a little bit.
They were into it.
So,
hey, farts are funny, you know, especially when they're on TV by people who think they're hot ass.
Now, there's been a lot of heat about the podcast, Cates.
Oh.
There's been a lot of heat about the podcast. And, Matt, have you felt any of the heat?
Oh, the Twitter timeline's been populated considerably with people that are not happy with hours and pre-shows and hour three is missing.
It's almost like the heat out of the ass of Max Kellerman.
A little bit.
On the Textoso and the Twitter.
Cates is over here coughing.
So what's going on? what's the deal, Cates?
Well, what happened last night is I got going on the pregame show for the Dodgers, and I forgot to put up the hours of the podcast.
Well, weren't we supposed to have a guy...
Change everything. Guy was supposed to change
everything.
Weren't
we supposed to have a full-time guy?
We're efforting that right now.
Is it Connor? Is it John? Is it Connor John Russell?
It's not. We're efforting somebody to do that.
Well, weren't we supposed to have a full-time guy?
We're working on it. So long story short, I forgot to post it. I left. I had to go to LAX to pick up my wife, who was returning from a trip.
My wife!
And so I texted David Magdaleno, who was running the Dodger game at the time. I said, hey, can you do me a favor?
That's not what you said. You said, what up, fool?
I said, hey, what up, fool? Can you do me a solid and put up the pod? And so he threw up hour one, he threw up hour two, and hour three, for some reason, only 7 minutes of the hour got put up. It got snipped or whatever. So I fixed it this morning. We're all good.
All right, so everything's fine.
And
on the
pre-show podcast thing, you guys did one yesterday. Great take on the Game of Thrones.
That was pretty good.
It was really good.
We really did a deep dive.
You and Dan Wojcicki did something on Thursday that was really good as well. That's up there.
What was that?
I don't remember.
Me either.
Something about the NBA, I'm sure.
Yeah, sports it up.
Right. Sports it up.
But the claim on Twitter from the guy who says it hasn't been updated since 4-4 is an outright bold-faced lie.
Okay.
I looked at it today. It has been updated. The Game of Thrones one has a lot of downloads.
So that dude's got to update his stuff.
Yes. Hey, buddy, hit refresh.
There you go. Update your podcast page, okay?
And what about the news of our – we are going to have, not like a Danette or something.
Oh, you're going back to this.
But we're going to have a full-time guy.
This is a Don Martin question. You really need to address it.
It's probably a period piece, guys.
No. We were told we were going to have a full-time guy. A full-time guy.
We're working on it. Up until then, it's my point.
The pre-show was discussed 6 months ago.
That's not true. It was like 3 months.
It was sprung on us the night before we were supposed to give it its debut.
I was going through my text the other day, and I saw a text from Don that said, soft launch, guys. We're going to try this thing out.
Yeah.
And are we going to do it today out here at Dodger Stadium? Are we going to do the pre-show? Because you can podcast our show at am570lasports.com.
That's what you saw from Don in your text? Because you know what
/PMS, am570lasports.com/PMS.
You know what my text is from Don?
I know where you're going
with
this.
It's a chicken head and it's an eggplant. Yep. That's what I got from Don. Chicken and an eggplant. That's the most recent text I have.
Well, I'm just saying.
Mike said, please come see me.
I don't like that you're taking a lot of this heat,
Cates.
But I deserved it from last night. I left to go do.
But you have the pregame show.
Right.
You have a lot of responsibilities.
It got put up last night. Thanks to David Magdaleno. What a fool. He put it up.
Yeah, Magdaleno.
A little later than usual, but I appreciate him putting it up. I tweaked it today when I got in first thing. And the pre-show podcast is there. It's 6 minutes of great Game of Thrones historical talk.
And the whole 3 hours from yesterday.
Yes, it's all there.
The whole 3 hour show.
Robert Lucidich interview. Everything's there.
That was a great one. Yeah. Lucidich was great.
It's all there.
Tomorrow. We're not going to be on till after the Dodger game, which starts at noon.
That's going to throw everybody for a loop.
So we'll be on after.
4:30
at 3 o'clock, all you podcasters, don't start, where's the show? I'm listening to some douchebag in Vegas. Where's the guy?
It's like, the streamers.
Yeah, easy, guys. Just easy. Once the Dodgers are done and Cates is done taking calls with Ned Coletti, or somebody,
who is that? Is that Rob and Chris that they'll be listening to? Is it Broussard and Rob Parker?
No, they flip them to like some Vegas.
Is it that guy from the Black Crows? Is it the Black Crows guy?
He gone.
Gorman.
There's a guy who does a Vegas.
Oh, is it RJ Bell who does it from Vegas?
Maybe,
He does the lines?
I think it is.
Who was your guy back in the day?
Jay Cornegay.
He was on like every other night.
Every Friday, but thank you.
See, I get texts like this. I would love to be your podcast guy.
Okay.
You guys have the best show ever and the worst podcast ever.
Oh.
The levels are horrible. Wow. I would love to help. Who the hell are you? Like, what could you do? I mean, levels are horrible.
Well, how are the levels horrible?
How are they different from what we do on the air with our beautiful terrestrial radio signal?
The levels haven't changed in forever.
Have you ever listened to the podcast?
Yes.
And the levels sound fine?
Well, that sound fine to me.
I've never listened to the podcast.
Oh, maybe you should try to do it once in a while.
Make sure it sounds okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Here's one, Matt.
What do we got?
On the Textoso line brought to you by Chevrolet.
Can we get some volume on it? Bert, wake up.
Bert.
Come on, Bert.
Wake up, Bert.
You know, we got a bunch of new guys out here.
What are you
out here staring at each other.
I saw that guy passed away.
Sold out to Chevy.
I guess you guys.
Not the promotion guy. The guy from all the, what's it called, movies. Passed away. The old guy from the Royal Tenenbaums and over the weekend.
Yes, love that guy.
Love him.
I heard you're a brain surgeon. I'm a barber.
I'm a barber.
But people make that mistake all the time. I love that
Such
guy.
A great line.
Great actor. All right. I guess you ride the coattails of Vin and a natural disaster to two golden mics and you forget about all the small people.
Hey.
The podcast listeners.
Tell Vastay to shut up, okay?
Maybe somebody should tell those voters to include the full body of work. Cates is such a half-ass limelight donut prince lazy ass.
All right, give me that guy's name.
Donut
prince.
Douche.
Where's that guy donut texting prince. From? Where the hell is
what
the 304?
Huh?
304. Some hillbilly
that's
or
the
something.
818. That's one of your neighbors.
You
on.
Hillbilly bastard.
I'm justifiably in a position which you'd rather not be.
Riding the coattails of natural disasters.
Oh, here's one. Talking about farts for 10 minutes is ridiculous. Grow up. Where's the great sports talk radio? Hey, we had Brian Seaman on. He exploded all over you guys. It was lead in his pencil.
Now, I'm going to take a lot of crap from people, but somebody from the 304 area code of West Virginia, that's where I draw the line.
Oh, West Virginia's putting it down.
Maybe they're L.A. and they just kept their West Virginia area code, Cates. Maybe that's just one of them folks, you know.
Get a new
cell phones now. Keep the 304. Maybe it's one of P's relatives from back in the day. They just got off. They're in the mines. They got to get down in the mines. They got to download the podcast. There's no radio signal. They can't stream.
That's my cousins in the holler.
They
don't like you at all. They want the music in the podcast, and they want those mining.
You're going to wear a pickaxe to the head.
They want those mining protest songs that we used to play all the time.
The whole music in the podcast thing is another day.
Oh, were you going to swear just now?
No.
Here's another one from the 951. There's no pre-show podcast for yesterday. Yes, there is, you dumbass.
I looked right at it 2 hours ago.
It's on Twitter. It's on.
Dumbass.
It's posted.
Dumbass.
It's retweeted at Peterson Money on Twitter. You people are infuriating. You people.
The @LakerUnfiltered podcast has offered up their services to run our podcast. I don't know if it's Roger, Jason, and or Josh, if it's all three, but they have offered to take care of our pod.
Suggestion. Perhaps Kate should only be allowed to tweet self-congratulatory tweets once you or Matt verify that the podcast is up. You know, that's not cool. We are supposed to have a full-time person, and I know somebody who wants it bad. 50-50 guy.
Darn right.
Rescovina 50-50 Steven.
CIF forever.
All right, we'll be right back. David Vassay is supposed to come up
it's
here.
About time.
I hope that solves all everybody's problems.
Is he done texting all those nasty things about me?
That should solve everybody's issues with the podcast.
I'd like to think that our podcast works more than Cox Cable works at my house. I know
I'm jumping in the deep end. Sporadically.
I hope not sporadically.
I was thinking of your Cox Cable.
Oh, I know. I know what you're thinking of that. Why don't you just go watch some more fart videos?
Oh, I will.
We'll be right back with Vasse. Gonna fart all over you people.
The Petros and Money Show.
AMS.
Podcasted at am570lasports.com.
In the chilly hours and minutes. Poppin', everybody. Welcome back. PMS is on the air, brought to you by Chevrolet and your Chevy dealers. It is truck month on AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, I got a question for you, Matt.
What do you got?
And a big thank you to Brian Seaman, who joined us in the last hour, and Tim Cates, who's figuring out the podcast every single day. You can podcast the show on AM570LASports.com/PMS or on the iHeartRadio app for your smartphones. Do you recognize this hat I'm wearing, Matt?
I do. There we go. God, what is that?
See, I don't either. Somebody gave me this hat, and
I remember you wearing
it. It's like an Orange
before.
County high school or something, and I don't know, so I'm going to send out
a photo.
The photo on Twitter at Petros and Money, and you people can tell me what hat it is. It's some
Steven knows.
It's some Orange County high school. It's an I and a W. Don't wreck it for the Twitter people. What is this hat? Local knowledge. We got to have it because I can't go walking around. What if this is like something nefarious, something bad?
Like George Mason.
Yeah, a slave owner.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
While you're doing that, quick shout out, P.
Let's give it.
To the Biola University
Eagles. And it is Tuesday.
Eagles. It is, that's right.
Do we have, how long would it take? Oh, my
run.
God.
Shout out to my homies.
It's time for another shout out Tuesday.
You know you make me wanna shout.
The Biola University Eagles put it on Dominican 8-0, and chiropractor to the stars, Ryan Blossy's daughter, Maddie, with her first collegiate home run today. She is on the front page of the website.
And that's the
21 there, making a nice, sweet connection for her first homer.
Bible Institute of Los Angeles.
Exactly right. Local, right up the road here.
Just like fully functional employee Adam is a graduate of Biola. My cousin, Eddie Shepard is an AD at Biola.
There we go. Way to go, Biola Eagles.
Yeah, Eddie Shepard is an AD at Biola. And one time I was on a plane, and I was sitting on a plane in, like, Seattle, and I saw, like, a few Biola types coming on. I said, you know what? I wonder if these guys know my cousin Eddie, the AD. And guess who came on a plane?
Your cousin Eddie.
My cousin Eddie.
So way to go, Eagles.
Yeah, Blossy.
Wear it, Dominican. Way to go, Maddie Blossy, with your first collegiate home run.
Wear it. Dominican, I'd say wear it in the sack, but that's not how we act at Biola. We spread the good word. We spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Happy Holy Week to everybody at Biola.
Darn right.
What? The guy tries to raise his arm for Jesus and you slapped it down? That's not cool. Hey, that's not cool. Freedom of religion. Freedom of religion in the United States of America.
She's calling blasphemer.
No, no blasphemy.
She senses you're mocking. Mocking and sarcasm.
Oh, no, there's no mocking Jesus here. It's Holy Week. Right now, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane freaking out, man. He's trying to tell the Lord to pass this cup before him. He don't want to die, but he knows he's got to.
What's Judas doing right now?
Counting his 30 pieces
right,
of
man.
Silver.
He's buying himself a sweet house. He's got a couple chickens. He's going to get it going.
Yeah, he's going to get it going until he realizes the error of his ways and kills himself.
He didn't kill himself. He was set up, man. That's homicide.
He killed himself. Don't act.
He had like 20 pieces of silver left.
No.
He got jacked.
No. It is not at all like that.
He bought a sweet-ass watch.
Don't try to make it like The Departed. Holy Week is not The Departed. Now, David Vasse is headed up here.
With a special guest.
He said he's coming with a special guest. So we are going to take a break. And we'll be right back.
Straight out the gate, special guest in Vasse.
We'll have David Vasse with a special guest. Now, don't forget.
We think.
Every single hour, we're giving away a grand, so you have an opportunity for a grand in your hand. Did we already give away the situation with the Dodger tickets?
That already happened, yes.
Okay, we already gave away the Dodger tickets, but we still have Steve Garvey coming on. And he might bring us food. And that would satiate Bert.
Steve here?
Yeah, he's doing something in left field here.
Okay.
Dave told me, I said, where are you? He says, yeah, I'm waiting for a special guest who's coming with me, and it'll be worth the wait.
Okay.
You think he's bringing Vince Scully?
I think he's bringing the bishop.
You think he's bringing – Rich Hill would not come up here.
I think he's bringing the bishop. Well, but he engaged with us earlier after he got done kind of doing his warm-up and running through his ladders.
You think the bishop saw us and wanted to come up and be a part of what we got going on?
I think so.
Wanted to talk about Max Kellerman farting up a storm?
I'm going to say it's Oral Hershiser. That's my guess.
Love Oral. Those are all good – those would all be great endings to this story.
Because he drives in right at 3 when you guys were talking about
– Right. Well, look, but normally Oral just rolls by. If he wants to come on, he'll just come see
us. I don't want you to try to take ownership of it like ESPN. We all love Oral.
Well, yeah. Clearly.
Well, you're not – you're the only one, man.
One of my favorite things associated with this show.
You know who probably would not appreciate Oral right now? Kellerman. Because you go down there and it's
David Vassan, a special guest, when we return. Do you have an answer yet?
It's like driving by the cockatoo.
Oh, already 5.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me look.
You already got 5 replies.
You think he's bringing Puig?
We have industrial wieners.
No, it's not. It's IW. It's like Idlewild.
We have the I is behind the gate, signifying like I live behind this gate.
It's in Orange County. It's because somebody gave me this when we were doing a remote. What is this hat?
World Industries, the Torrance-based skateboard company.
No!
International Waffles.
No, these aren't true. It's a high school. Gosh, you think it's Puig? Do you think he's bringing Puig up?
Oh, hey, guys. I want you to give it to
me. Well, is it 6:30 yet?
How dare you, man.
Oh, that was a good one.
That was funny. We'll be right back. Yo soy Cubano.